you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
At us or just follow us or both. Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
But I like Big Finger.
I didn't play that because this might be Dr. Mina. I played it because I saw that dude gave some money to the pancreatic cancers. The dude that won all the money.
Oh, he did?
He donated some cash to, because Alex is suffering that. I don't know how much he donated, did they say? But good for him.
You mean the donated to the walk?
The pancreatic walk, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He donated a little bit over $1,000.
That was it?
Yeah. Oh, well, they were having a walk.
That's not worth the news. How much did dude win?
I don't know. Not quite $2 million or about $2 million.
Close to 2.5, but after taxes, like about $80,000.
No. Like $800,000, right?
It was a pretty good chunk.
Okay, then you donate more than
I would
grand.
Say he at least half of it.
But he gave some money.
So the woman involved in the in the walk saw that the guy's daughter had made a card for Alex Trebek or something at one point.
Cards work. Yeah.
And so
we sent a big one to the 9/11 victims years ago. And
this is a 4-year-old girl making a card for Alex Trebek.
I'm not hammering the
Let
girl.
Let that go.
I'm not talking about the girl. I didn't know about it. I didn't know how the daughter was. I'm just saying the cards work. Remember that?
Oh, No, only giant cards.
Oh, that's a good point.
Giant cards.
I know it was a 4-year-old girl. That's what I'm talking
about. It's a 4-year-old girl. She made Alex Trebek a card.
Every time I can bring up the fact that we sent a big giant card to New York to
giant
say,
card
sorry about your terrorist attack, I got to bring up.
Has to be accompanied by hundreds of stuffed animals.
That's right.
Right. That's what victims of, you know, say.
So good for you, gave money.
Like a 9/11 bombing, they deserve a giant card and hundreds of stuffed animals. That's what they need most.
We did that, by the way. We did that. Not us, the station.
not our idea, but we can tell you whose it was.
I remember when John Stewart was talking to the Congress. He said he wanted more giant cards for the victims of 9/11. Yeah. Sorry. It's a pet peeve with us, but I think it's hilarious. Is this who I think it is?
Yeah.
But I like Big Finger.
Correct.
That could have worked for Joe, too, by the way. All right.
Or Sugar. She's actually a Sugar Finger.
I am Dr. Sugar Finger. And yes, for the record, big cards, thoughts and prayers, and that little prayer emoji, they all work fantastically.
All work
so please send more.
Do.
Yeah, send more.
Thoughts and prayers. Hey, I was looking
at. Do you put to pay the order of thoughts and prayers, or do you put that in the money line when you're writing a check? For your favorite
money
organization.
Line, the giant check should say thoughts and prayers.
Okay.
Because that's infinite.
Sure.
Infinite.
Thought about
infinite
you,
value
thought
on
about,
that big, enormous check that you're going to send thought, over to them.
Thought about you again yesterday when I saw that I was just reading one of those toughest colleges to get into again. Yale was fourth, but in your defense, you also got into Harvard, right? And they were one.
Yes.
They were one.
To be fair, I was waitlisted and pulled off the waitlist. So,
for Harvard,
yes.
So you could have gotten Harvard. You could have gotten the toughest college in the country to get into, but you went to the fourth toughest college to get into.
I went to the better college.
Relax. Right.
You know, if you had gone to Harvard, we'd just make fun of Harvard.
Yeah.
Right. Talk about how much better Yale is
of course.
Than Harvard.
Of course. Of course.
I did go to Harvard for
she did go to Harvard
a degree
too.
From them,
she's
just
so
not from
smart.
The undergraduate.
Man, bragger.
Okay, there were a whole bunch of things, and then I a couple of important topics I wanted to touch on.
Go
so
ahead.
First of all, for the guy who
but
wants
be sure
to know,
mix in a mention of working on your master's.
Yeah.
You are a doctor.
Yeah.
And then I had to go to one of those other, the middle tier Ivy Leagues for my PhD because, you know.
Yeah, we all got a price to pay. We all got our cross to bear.
For the guy who wants to know what Big P does when he's fluffing, it's amazing.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. He fluffs you at a time.
Yeah. Every week. Every week.
Yeah, there's some people in our audience who need to watch a little more porn.
That's always a fact.
Our fluffing reference. Yep. And don't get a gangbang reference.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Who doesn't know? Oh, never mind. So there was a story about having CPR mannequins who have boobs, because women actually do receive, and there are a number of studies now, less CPR when they're going into cardiac arrest outside of the hospital.
That's right. When we were kids, it was recitation.
It was not anal Annie.
Recitation Annie, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think it was.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened.
Anal Annie was a whole different doll.
That right. I did in fellowship.
Recitation Annie, I remember doing that in like middle school, and I know it didn't have boobs. You're right.
Anal Annie
was
an off-Broadway play. It was excellent.
And I will tell you, I recently recertified for my ACLS, and all of the mannequins look like James Dean. All of them.
Oh, really?
All male.
Okay, all males.
Yes, they were all male. They were chiseled. And I kind of, in the back of my head, wondered, why is this very healthy young man having cardiac arrest? Like, this makes no sense. Give me the 400-pound-plus mannequin with a bit of food stuck in that fold in his stomach, that I have to find.
Yeah, I was going to say, you see what you have to do. They're not chiseled guys laying there usually,
no,
right?
No. They are enormous. It's hard. It's much different experience. But it does get to the fact that if we're going to have these classes for people who are outside of the hospital, it is important that they feel comfortable that if it is a woman, this is what I do. This is what it's going to be like.
That's right, the story came from the fact that women die more often of heart attacks because people are afraid to touch them.
They are afraid of touching. But there was a great qualitative study that was done this year that surveyed people and found that people were afraid of, touching them. They were afraid that they had to unbutton their shirt or something like that, that it would be wrong to do that for a woman in public. They were afraid that they would hurt them because they were more frail or fragile and they didn't want to do that. And let me remind you, this woman is dead.
That's sad.
You
and
need
you, to get things started, you would basically have to punch a boob, wouldn't you?
We don't punch boobs, but not part of the ACLS protocol.
Maybe that's bedroom technique. Right?
It forks right at the beginning, men, female, punch a boob, then start. But there is very good evidence that the longer you wait for adequate resuscitation, the worse the outcomes. This is a matter of life and death.
Can I ask you another question, too? Because this is what I hate about TV shows that are not realistic when it comes to the hospital. When they take somebody into an emergency, they don't leave the bra on. Right, exactly. The bra is not on. I understand in network TV, the bra has to be on. But I've seen movies where the people are taken to emergency rooms and the bra stays on. I said, no, doctors don't care. They got to take the bra off.
No,
right?
We don't care. We don't care. We're not seeing anything
sexual. It's not sexual.
We're seeing a body that we need to do something. There's something that needs to be done. What's going to be done? Along the same lines about blood type, and do we need to know whether we're positive, what our blood type is, or they're positive, negative? And can you just tell a doctor, this is what my blood type is? It's good to know. No doubt. You can tell us. We don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you know what your blood type is, we are required to get a type and screen. And within our hospital system, it has to be on file within 72 hours before we can give you a blood product, except in an emergency.
How quick can you do that, type and screen?
You can get them right away. Okay. If I can get blood on you, I can send it to the lab. We can make it stat. They can run it. But if it's a life and death emergency, I'm not going to wait for that. I will do that while giving you, O negative blood, which is the universal donor.
I saw your email also. You heard Todd what he said about your blood type. What was it?
Oh, no. For the record, I am not B pissy.
You never called her? You said her blood type was B pissy.
Oh, I did.
Excuse me. By the way, you know, like if as you guys said, quote, if banging one's head causes throat cancer, you're talking about the frontman from Megadeth.
Yeah.
I'm 100% screwed with you guys because, and I blame all of you bastards for the cancer that I am definitely going to have.
If you're beating your head against the wall, then just banging your head and rocking.
Yeah, he's yeah, rocking.
I'm not actually hitting your head against right. anything. Yeah. You're just putting a lot of strain on your
neck. I am the test case about whether it's different or not right here.
Right.
Also, along the lines, please don't volunteer me as if I would have intimate knowledge about whether or not, if ecstasy breaks open in your vagina, what would happen to you. Okay?
Well, no, I don't know. I was a doctor point of view, not
sure.
that you've done that.
We thought you may have read a case or something, or heard some anecdotal evidence.
Plus, you're the only one with a vagina that we know. They're called the show.
Yeah.
You know?
And I only allow certain things on, near, or in my vagina. Ecstasy is not one of them. For folks who don't, MDMA, which is what is Molly, ecstasy, it does act as a hallucinogenic stimulant. It can increase heart rate. It can cause chills. And because of a very sharp increase in body temperature that can happen, it can cause organ failure and death. And also people can, if they don't have that, they can also get depression, paranoia, anxiety, and confusion. Yay.
That is a bad show.
Long-term.
Organ failure and death, man.
Yeah.
Those guys
in the morning.
They last long.
That is a very short show right there. Long-term consequences of MDMA use have been implicated with changes in the brain. That can cause memory disorders, judgment disorders, and problems with mood. But more importantly, and there have been some interesting studies, a lot of young kids think that for whatever reason, ecstasy is pure. And so they did a study looking at what you could buy out on the street. Only 13% of Molly contains any MDMA at all. So it's far from pure, and it's far from safe. And what's the most common thing that's there instead of MDMA? It is actually bath salts. So please don't use this drug.
Yeah, obviously.
Because
yeah.
we know bath salts are bad. The rest of the in other situations, other things that they found, these additive drugs included heroin, PCP, and amphetamines. And so definitely people who are using ecstasy, there have been a high association with psychotic violent behavior, kidney failure, and death. It may not actually be from the MDMA. It might actually be because there was no MDMA in that drug. And
kidney
was,
failure took over for the other dude when he kicked him, but death was still sticking around. Yeah,
organ
failure died. Yeah,
organ failure
that guy left the show
longer.
Early, and they reported kidney failure. Death stayed around, right?
And death's like, I'll meet you on the other side. I'm out of here. Bye bye.
Right.
do want to reach out, and I think I put this in the email. To the gentleman who is drinking 6 to 8 drinks of vodka a night, please, I am happy to talk to you. I'm not by any means a thought leader or an expert in this, but I'm definitely happy
you talk
to help
Petey
you
off
out.
The ledge. You can do this guy.
Petey was so sweet. I love him.
But
honestly, your remaining hepatocytes are fighting the good fight here, and that won't last long. So I know you guys hate me, and I am the Debbie Downer, but moderate drinking, according to the National Institutes of Health on alcohol abuse and alcoholism, moderate drinking is up to 1 drink a day for women and up to 2 drinks per day for men. High-risk drinking is this consumption of 4 or more drinks on any day, or 8 or more drinks per week for women, 5 or more drinks on any day, or 15 or more drinks per week for men. And these are all definitely related to adverse outcomes. Your liver will perform fine until that last hepatocyte gasps and falls out, and then it's terrible. And liver failure is bad. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's sitting there going, oh, my God.
I got it.
That's actually, when you're the smokers, that's the last they'll be alive fighting the good fight. But it's the same. So please, cut it back or stop it completely. I kudos to this guy for recognizing that there is something wrong, and reaching out, because that's the first step. Like, as Petey says, you've got to do it yourself. We can only lead you so far. If you are a guy on a motorcycle zipping between traffic and you're not wearing a helmet, please, please sign up to be an organ donor. Yeah. My people need you.
Yeah, they do. They call them. I've heard doctors, not just yourself, I heard people call them, especially.
That's my next liver transplant right over there.
Especially the crotch rockets. I've heard them called organ donors,
that's
man.
A great
oh,
one.
Gosh, yes.
Sad,
and in the United States, while nearly 100% of U.S. adults support the idea of organ donation, only about half of us are actually registered organ donors. Please check the box on the driver's license. Let your family and friends know this is important.
Yeah.
You can save lives. You can save multiple lives.
Why does it say not allowed on mine? I was just checking. It says no thanks.
It says don't take liver.
It says no thanks.
Don't take liver or surrounding area on Petey's. And on mine, too, for that matter.
Rejected. Get that out of here.
Or surrounding area.
We only reject you after.
Oh, you take the part and then reject it.
Yeah.
Gift of life comes by. It's like, yeah, no thanks. Bye-bye. All right.
Now, can Petey's liver regenerate?
That's it.
And the rest of ours, for that matter.
Yeah, I want to ask that question. I want to know. I want to know, because you know how old we are. Say, is there a possibility my liver is as fine as it was when I was 26?
No, probably 26, not as 26. Fine.
Okay.
Probably not as fine. There is the possibility for liver regeneration. It's one of the few organs that can, however,
so
it's never too late to cut back or just stop. That's always going to be a good thing.
Even in our case?
Even in your case.
It's
even
not
in your case.
Too late?
It's never too late.
Right.
No. I want you guys to stick around for a long time. Because the only thing funnier and sexier than you guys in a nursing home doing the show is you guys doing strip who's older when you're in the nursing home.
Oh, yeah. How do I wrap up each show there, Petey, in the nursing home?
Good show.
Well, you guys are all down to no clothes.
We're going to play strip who's older.
An adult diaper.
No, we're going to play strip who's older now.
Oh my God.
Not that.
Well, we're still hot.
We'll be old and wrinkly by then, man.
I can't wait till the next time I come back.
We're only going to play if you're here.
Sure.
We've all seen each other naked. We got to show somebody
Plus,
new.
We're going to have to know the things that you allow near your vagina.
I have a list.
The top five. The
things that you won't allow near your vagina, but you never said,
That's us.
Yeah, that's...
don't worry. You'll find out. The top five what?
That's
here.
The next call. You can include that in your next call.
I think it was Len who actually had a question about.
Oh, speaking
doctor...
of naked people, Len. Yeah, Len's gonna be.
Yes,
Len,
I know.
He'll be naked in a week.
Stop
it. He's probably darker than me at this point.
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's definitely darker than you. I think he is. Yeah.
He asked if the doctor doing the heart surgery for Mick Jagger is under more pressure.
Because they're famous, because they're icons, right?
Right. So first of all, any doctor doing any surgical pressure, we're all under pressure,
right?
Especially heart surgery. Most doctors I know don't give a damn if they're operating on Joe Schmo or Mick Jagger. A death is a death. A complication is a complication.
Listen, you know that. Obviously, you're the expert, and I agree with you. I just think that everybody's human, so famous people are still famous people. I mean,
they're famous until they're
laying on
in the OR,
right.
And they're laying on there, and you know, you've got everything covered up, and all you've got is the chest. It's the chest. It's another chest. This is what we have to do.
That's true.
And it really doesn't matter. We hate death. We hate complications. I get so pissed if I cannot pull someone out of a code because you are sort of conditioned to fight. This is what we fight. We fight disease. We fight death. Now, there's also this issue of confidentiality. So technically, a physician cannot tell people that they operated on somebody famous. That person can give them permission to talk about it. That person can name
them. That's right, because David Letterman brought everybody out on the show after he had his
incident. Exactly.
Right,
Jimmy Kimmel has publicly named the doctors who've helped his son.
That's right.
But those doctors could not have instigated that themselves. They could not advertise that they were doing this.
Got it.
But without question, as in any business, there are people with egos. They're really, they will talk among their friends and they will brag that they were the one. Whatever. For most people I know, it doesn't matter. A procedure is a procedure.
Well, that's good to know for everybody. All regular people are there laying there, but it's not just, not just saving Mick Jagger. You want to save everybody else too. Got it.
One more quick thing, and then I want to get to
the tickets to the Stones, man. You have a invested interest in keeping that guy alive.
No. And then that man exercises a lot.
Yeah, he does.
He really does. Very quickly, and then I want to get to one important topic. So there was a study that I think Craig had brought up about time outdoor for patients. And they was like the more time, if you can spend up to 2 hours outdoors, it's good for your health.
Right.
This is such bad reporting.
Uh-oh.
Of this study, and I also want to call out the authors of the study because they're feeding into this.
Well, you know, not just sitting outside. You have to actually do something outside, right? Walk.
No. They sent a survey out to people asking them how much time they spent, quote-unquote, in the wilderness, and then asked them if they were in poor health or how satisfied they were with their life. And then they come off saying, oh, yes, this establishes a link between exposure to nature and better health or well-being. A survey cannot establish causation, not at all. And issue of a number of confounders. So what's a confounder? A confounder is a third variable that's going to distort the association between nature and good health. So let me give you an example. I'm trying to do a look at alcohol causing lung cancer. And I say, oh, yes, alcohol is very strongly associated with lung cancer. And you would call me an idiot because you'd say, no, it's because all the drinkers were smokers. The smoking is a confounder. So here, there were so many confounders in the study they did not account for. So what if you were too sick to go outside, too depressed, too poor to have a safe outdoor space? You work too many jobs and you don't have the time. You could also report a poor quality of life and you would not be able to spend time outside, but it has nothing to do with the time you were spending outside.
Right. Let me point something out here, really quickly. That it's 2019 now, and the last time we recognized confounders was about 2015. So just eliminate all those from the conversation. Your confounders don't mean anything anymore.
That's a good point.
What that sounds like? That sounds like a rant of a young lady who needs to spend some more time outside.
Yeah.
Yes, and not with my damn book.
Not with my damn book. You could actually be really, really healthy and be inside. I mean, you're working out, eating right, and you're inside. I get it, Yeah.
So you know, I think a better line for the study would be spending at least 120 minutes a week in nature is associated with good health and well-being. It should not say it causes this medical conditions, physical ability, free time, proximity to nature. These all are impact whether you're able to do this or not. And people should not take too much out of this. Now, yes, being out in nature is great. It's not going to hurt you. But this it speaks to the greater issue of how we report science and how we think about all these different associations and kind of blow them out of proportion.
Right. My question is, do you want to go camping?
I would love to go camping. Oh, my gosh. If I could, this is why Len is darker than me. I haven't been outside in so long.
See?
My entire summer has been working and teaching. It's crazy.
Get outside. You could get lung cancer if LD's. You don't get outside.
By the way, LD, he got real tan, by the way. Can LD, just in a short period of time, a month or two right now, laying in a tanning bed is... can he get skin cancer just from being 2 months in a tanning bed?
He could.
Well, okay. Whose job is going to check for LD's moles next time?
Not it.
Next time I'm going to have to do a complete physical exam. He's going to have to strip down completely.
That's going to be you in another room.
Yeah, do that in private.
I mean, or you guys could just do this every single time he's there.
Check
for
moles?
Strip him down.
Okay.
De-louse him.
All right, one last important thing. This week is World Refugee Week, World Refugee Day, if I'm correct, on Thursday.
Round them up and ship them out. Come on.
Right.
No.
You better be careful, brown lady. They're going to round you up and ship you out.
I know. I want to address some of the myths about immigrants and refugees. So, and there are five of them. So first one, refugees are a burden to the accepting country. The truth is that when we give them a right to work and a right to live rather than die in the country that they are escaping to education, we actually allow them to be productive. And the faster they integrate in the labor force, the faster they become productive members of society. Myth number two is that there are fewer job opportunities for people who live here if we let in more refugees. Actually, quite the opposite. Economists have looked at this multiple times, and the presence of foreigners in the labor force does not hurt Native people here, or in this case Americans, because they're coming in with a completely different skill set. They're going to compete for completely different jobs, and the data, in fact, show that people who are here, Americans, do better when they're migrants in the labor force because they get to specialize in the higher-paying jobs.
Greg, Todd, here she is with these confounders, man. And she's these confounders, actual facts.
Yep.
That's crazy.
I know. Migrants are also more likely to start their own new businesses and jobs. And so in the United States, migrants create about 1.5 million jobs every year.
Taco trucks.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yep. Work is work. Myth number three is that immigrants take more from the U.S. government than they... Immigrants take more from the U.S. government than they contribute. In fact, they contribute more in tax revenue than they do take in government benefits. Myth number four is the U.S. economy doesn't need immigrants. In fact, they are really key in offsetting a declining birth rate. We have a shrinking workforce, and they help, especially for the jobs that American citizens don't want or can't do. And finally, the final myth is we would be better off for the economy if immigrant children were not U.S. citizens. And this is something that the current administration has said over and over again. I'd like to remind folks that I am the child of immigrants. I sincerely hope I've made this country better.
You have.
More generally, children with citizenship are more productive workers. We see this. So please, I hope this dispels some of the myths about refugees, about immigrants. What we are doing is awful. It's just awful.
Of course it is. Yeah, we're on your side here. And I'm glad you spoke up.
I will put all these facts out there, and, you know, stupid scientists have studied this smarter than me.
And a refugee, by the way. You're a child of immigrant there.
You may run into some confounders.
Yeah.
I know. Hey, love you guys. Have a wonderful vacation.
Love you.
All right, I will. Love you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Dr. Mina, come on back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.